When the Libyan uprising began in February, there were no foreign journalists in the country and no independent Libyan journalists either. If you were a journalist in Libya at that time, you were reporting on behalf of the government. But in that violent first week in Benghazi, even after Colonel Gaddafi had switched off the internet, Libya's first citizen journalist, Mohamed Nabous, managed to establish a pirate internet connection to stream video reports online. Since then, Libya's independent media industry has been booming. Everything has started from scratch: TV channels, radio stations, newspaper and internet publishers. But the people behind them have had little or no understanding of how the independent media should work, let alone any journalistic experience. That's where people like Brian Conley have stepped in. He's the co-founder of Small World News, an independent news organisation that formed back in 2006. With a small team, Brian Conley has trained citizens to be journalists in countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria and Mexico. He started working with the Libyans back in March and is now planning a nationwide project to train the country's enthusiastic new breed of reporters. He spoke to Jess Hill from his home in Portland, Oregon.
We've been trying to put an emphasis on really getting them to understand multiple sources, fact-checking, knowing what you can really say rather than just sort of asserting things. My biggest impression is that, by and large, they want to create better journalism. But rather than waiting until they know how to create better journalism, they're trying to tell the stories they can as quickly as they can now.
Did you find that any of the journalists that you were working with had any instinct for objective reporting?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's interesting. You know, even our work started in Iraq years ago. And, you know, there they also don't have a history of journalism. But if you're working with an engineer, or in this case, we were working with English teachers, you know, people who have a professional background of some kind, you just have to help them learn how to apply that to the journalism trade and then step by step improve themselves. You know, what really comes down to is people who are, I think, as you know yourself, I'm sure, who have initiative, who are willing to learn, and who are just naturally curious.
And can you tell me a bit more about the citizen journalists that you were involved with back in March?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I would say that from our perspective, we train citizens to become journalists. I would say that there's a big difference between someone who is on the street and sees something newsworthy and has a camera with them, takes a picture of it, and then shares it on the internet. There's a difference between that person and somebody who's sitting in their home and makes a decision to go and tell a story. And for us, the goal is really to teach, you know, enable local people to become journalists, people who have that desire to tell stories and to do something more than just witness.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. And you're devising a pilot project that will obviously build on what you have already done in Libya to help equip and train these journalists. How do you plan to do this?
The most promising proposal we have right now would involve us going back, providing a week of training in a few locations, at least Benghazi and Tripoli, hopefully providing training to a combination of staff reporters already working with these new emerging networks, freelance reporters or, you know, citizens who want to become journalists, and then, of course, our own team, the team that we've been building the past 6 months, providing them additional training and also just getting these guys to start working together. From there, you know, we hope to be able to offer at least a regular commission for videos from a segment of the trainees, and then also use this training as a way to start making contacts with the networks and see if they do have an interest. The question for us then becomes, is this more of a wire service where we have a loose network of stringers who are paid on commission, and we're making a return based on licensing the content to Libyan channels, regional Middle East, North African agencies, and then eventually international agencies? Or is it become more of a video production kind of model where we actually start to produce programming for one or more channels? We're thinking that this wire service makes a lot more sense because it also enables us to leverage online and the content we put out, if it doesn't get purchased or if it has a licensing fee that expires, we will then post it ourselves and use Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube and other elements of the internet to distribute that content both to Libyans inside the country and to people outside.
How, you know, you have these projects going all over the place. How do you fund them at the moment?
We do training projects, right? And those training projects are often funded by NGOs, foundations. For example, in Afghanistan, we were hired directly by an Afghan organization, Peshwak Afghan News. It was funding for a project that was funded by the U.S. Embassy. but they contracted with us directly. And what they contracted us to do is to teach them to produce multimedia with mobile phones, shoot better photos and video with small cameras, and then also help them start setting up their video service. We're now trying to figure out, would it be better for us to really get this Alive In network going and start creating an international network of journalists in the developing world in the conflict area? And it's kind of funny, like everybody else is kind of getting out of the foreign news and cutting back. We're really trying to make an investment there and sort of make the point that if we work with locals, not only can we create better content, but it's at a lower overhead and with higher impact. You know, you also have to look at the fact that there are populations that live outside of their country, diaspora communities, that don't have good ways of getting information from their own country. Even the BBC, which has one of the largest news gathering offices, they can't be everywhere, and they're not going to do constant coverage of Kenyan issues, for example, or even Libyan issues. But we can, by creating networks of local journalists, start to serve content via the internet that will, you know, in New York, Libyan communities in New York and San Francisco and London can see this content and can learn more about Libya than they can by turning on the news that's available to them right now. And now, as we're one of the, like, I would say one of the key players on the ground, particularly of internationals doing this kind of work, we're in a good place to say to funders, here's what we've already proven. Now, why don't you support us to make it like a real big thing and really make an impact and help enshrine ideals of accurate, independent journalistic credibility and a free press into the new state that's going to form? You know, Libya and the NTC is already doing a lot of work supporting their own media outlets. But, you know, they have certain issues there.
For now, at least, the new government is encouraging independent journalism. That makes Libya a bit of a regional oddity. Do you think it will last?
I think we've yet to see exactly how far that's going to go. But there was actually a gathering of Libyan journalists held a few months back in Benghazi where essentially they were asked by a representative of the NTC, you know, guys, it's not really time to criticize the Transitional Council and the revolution. Like, we got to be careful what we say. We have to make sure we don't push too hard. You know, these kinds of things, that they weren't direct threats, but there's definitely, you can say they were starting to see the potential for intimidation. And then in the West, you know, we've seen much more clear limitations, both on Libyan reporters and especially on foreign reporters, controlling what they can say. And even tension from the sort of the military end of the rebel faction against the media faction because their reporting wasn't good enough or it wasn't providing the right credit to the people who fought and died in this battle or that battle. So I would say that they're saying the right things, but the undercurrents are worrying and remains to be seen what's going to happen.
And that's Brian Conley, co-founder of Small World News, speaking there to Jess Hill.